From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The State Liquor Control Board is coming up with regulations for the legal cultivation, processing, and retail sale of marijuana to adults. Liquor Control Board Director Pat Kohler is joining us to tell us how it's going. Pat Kohler has been in state government for 30 years at the State Department of General Administration, the State Auditor's Office, and for the last 11 years as Director of the Liquor Control Board. Pat, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Busy couple of years for you. You spent last year disentangling the state from the retail sales and distribution of alcohol. And then this year, you've got the huge task of trying to come up with one of the first systems in the nation to legally grow, process, and distribute marijuana. Busy times, huh?
Most definitely. We have been very busy as an agency dealing with a variety of initiatives. Like you said, closing down a $1 billion retail business was a significant amount of work. I think one difference between that initiative and privatizing liquor and Initiative 502 is that the timeline is at least a lot longer associated with Initiative 502. We had to shut down that $1 billion business in less than 6 months.
With your decreased responsibility for alcohol sales and your new responsibilities to oversee marijuana sales, does the name Liquor Control Board fit any longer?
I think there is some discussion going on about whether or not we should change our name to Liquor Cannabis Board. But I think that overall, our mission is around public safety. And I think that with the Initiative 502, the thought is that it would be a similar type system to liquor and that we would have a three-tier system set to regulate marijuana, similar to how we regulate liquor. But I think there are discussions that are going on to look at changing our name.
No one has done this before. Now, Washington and Colorado are trying to come up with a system for the legal sales of marijuana. What's the hardest part so far, Pat?
I think that just really understanding the industry, understanding the product, really understanding what the law wants us to do, and ensuring that we have a tightly regulated system. So right now we're really trying to understand what the law is intending us to do, and just understanding the marketplace so that we set up a regulatory system that is tightly regulated but is intended to what the law intended us to do.
Well, speaking of the law, aren't there some changes being proposed in the state legislature? Is the law even in its final form yet? Are you going to have to deal with some change-ups from lawmakers?
I think there are some changes being discussed in the legislature, but any change to the law takes a two-thirds vote by the legislature in order to get a change. So we're moving forward with implementation so that we meet the time frame specified in the law, which states we have to have all the rules in place by December 6th. And so we really can't afford to wait for that to be worked through. But I don't think we'll be too far along that if there are any changes, we can make modifications.
Now, that's interesting to me that it's a two-thirds vote, because any changes in the law on marijuana in 502 would be considered tax changes, because that's usually the threshold for that supermajority vote.
No, in an initiative process, it also not only do tax changes require two-thirds, but an initiative that's passed by the voters, if there's a change in law, it also requires a two-thirds vote.
Well, that's a very high threshold to meet. That might discourage changes in this session. So you mentioned your deadline is December 6th. How you doing? You meeting your earlier deadlines?
December 1st.
December 1st.
Yeah, we have a we have 11 different teams set up to look at all the issues that that have been identified in implementation of the law, and so we're working towards rulemaking, setting up licenses, as you indicated at the beginning, a producer license, a processor license, and a retail license. And so we have a timeline that's on our website. Probably some of the key dates would be sometime in mid-April, you're going to see some draft rules, which is a transparent process. It will allow people to provide public comment. There'll be actually a public hearing on the draft rules for producers. And then shortly, a couple weeks after that, there'll be retailer and processor rules that will come out, which will go through the same process of allowing for public comment. We would hope to have those rules done where we'd be issuing producer licenses sometime mid-August and retail licenses the first part of December. We arrived at the December date for retail sales by the Office of Financial Management's fiscal impact statement projected revenue to start coming in January of 2014. So we kind of backed up from that date and built our rulemaking process along that line. And one of the things that we're doing right now is public forums, and we're taking public comment on the before we come out with rules. And the board will be looking at that timeline and seeing if there's any modifications we need to make to that, because actually the law itself only requires us to have the rules in place by December 1st, 2013.
Yeah, and you're getting a huge turnout for those hearings that you've been having about how these regulations will be structured. Any messages that have come through to you loud and clear from those hearings that you're incorporating into your rulemaking process?
I think we're getting a lot of feedback from the medical marijuana community around the size of growers and around whether or not there should be a limit to the number of growers. And so those are discussions that the board will have to make policy decisions on, to look at what should the number of growers and retailers be. I think that the governor and the federal government has an interest around diversion. And so what we want to make sure is that we're not, we don't have so much product that it's leaving the state and there's diversion issues. And so it's definitely something that we're looking at as to what should be the right number of growers and retailers.
Pat Kohler is my guest. She's director of what's currently called the Liquor Control Board. Might not be for much longer. And they are dealing with the huge task of trying to set up a regulatory system in Washington State for the cultivation, the processing, and the sale of marijuana. And their deadline to get these regulations together is December 1st of this year. So, Pat, is that to say that as of December 1st, adults in Washington State may have a store they can go to purchase marijuana?
That's our objective right now, is that we would have retail sales available December 1st, 2013.
I think you put your finger on an issue that I've been hearing a lot about, and that is, as you do your rulemaking, how big will the marijuana farms and businesses be? Some say they should just be from people who are in state. I've heard a lot of people arguing that they shouldn't be big just because people think that it'd be more advantageous to have a lot of small businesses. You're not the policy-making body. That's the commission that'll be doing that. But what are the reasons for you to allow it to be big?
I think the law itself doesn't identify whether or not they're big or small. But I think that one of the things that you want to do is ensure that the system is tightly controlled. There in the law, it does require to have security requirements and standards for the product. And so if you look at that, I think one of the advantages to having larger growers could be that you could more tightly control the growing of the product. But that's not to say that's the only way that, you know, you could do that. We can set up security standards, camera requirements, and things like that, where a small grower could be as effective in ensuring the product is secure.
Well, that brings to mind the fact that if there are a lot of different people in this business, it's going to require a lot more oversight from the Liquor Control Board. Do you have enough people to do that?
That is something that in the law, it gave the agency $5 million to regulate the sale of marijuana. And so that is something that we're identifying. We in the fiscal impact, we did estimate a certain number of staffing, mostly in enforcement officers, but we will look at our staffing requirements. We're in the process of we've hired a rules person to work on the regulatory side. We're in the process of hiring a marijuana licensing manager, cannabis licensing manager, and then we'll look at other staffing needs once that manager's in place to see what we need, because in the beginning part of summer would be when we would start processing licenses, so we are going to need staff to address the licensing issues. And then once the laws, people are actually starting to produce and retail, we will need enforcement staff.
Yeah, so you're spending that. It's $5 million, you said?
The law gives us $5 million a year,
so
yes.
So you're starting to spend that money. At this point, having already made some expenditures, is that looking adequate, or is that looking like that's going to be hard to do what you need to do with that amount of money?
I think that will – it's kind of really too early to tell, what we're going to need and what this really means. The local government received no funding, and I think they have been – they will be impacted in the law enforcement area as well as our liquor enforcement officers. So I think that's a challenge and an issue out there. But I think it's kind of too early to tell, what the staffing requirements are. And the Office of Financial Management's given us some, in Governor Gregoire's budget, there was some money given to us. And I think we'll have to look at that once we get further down the road as to what the staffing needs are and also when the revenue starts to flow in.
If you got a question for Pat Kohler, give me a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. Or write to us, conversation@kuow.org. As you mentioned, one of your challenges is understanding the product. I assume there's not many people at the Liquor Control Board who are familiar with selling large amounts of marijuana. Am I right?
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay, so you're trying to hire people who are. How do you evaluate the expertise of someone in a field that up till now has been illegal?
We issued an RFP. It had four different areas in which we were looking for expertise, mainly in the area of how the product's grown, what are the considerations that we should be giving to infused products, what are the testing requirements and the testing infrastructure in place, because the law requires us to ensure the product is properly labeled and the THC and ingredients are included in that. And we also wanted to validate consumption levels because the fiscal impact used a study that came up with some level of an estimate. But we want to try to do some validation to establish a baseline. And then we were looking for some expertise as we look at all the policies that need to be established. So we are seeking that and we'll evaluate their background and experience. And hopefully we'll have a team of people that will come with different levels of expertise.
There are so many people who want to get into the legal marijuana business, and we've spoken to some of them. How are you vetting applicants to be your marijuana experts for possible conflicts of interest? In other words, how do you make sure that they're giving you the best advice, but not just advice that's going to help people that they might be in business with down the line to take advantage of the way these rules are written?
I think that we'll have to confirm that by other research. We have a research team that's already begun a lot of research out there to look at this. And so some of what we're looking to do is validate what we've already discovered. I think that we also have been reaching out to the state of Colorado because they have a tightly regulated medical marijuana system. And so we're looking to them to help us with some of the learnings and expertise that they've gained. And we're sharing with them some of what we're learning as well. So, this is definitely new. We'll look at the best information we have to make the best decisions possible.
Have you been to Colorado, Pat, to see how they do their legalized medical marijuana sales?
I haven't personally been to Colorado, but our staff that are involved in research have been to Colorado, and we plan to send our enforcement and licensing, some folks from enforcement and licensing out to Colorado as well. We have regular conference calls with them.
Well, has any of the things that you've heard so far kind of jumped out at you going, oh, that's a great idea that Colorado is doing that. We should try something like that here?
I think they have a really interesting tracking system, and they track from seed to sale, and they do a barcoding system. And so that's something that we're looking at is what kinds of tracking systems there are out there. Their system's a little bit different than ours. Right now, what they're going through is they're proposing a law for the legislature to consider, and then they'll go through rulemaking, whereas ours became a law by the vote of the people. And so They also have a lot different system that there's a lot more local control in Colorado than in Washington. Ours is a state-regulated system.
Stanley wrote to us at conversation@kuow.org. How are you going to decide the price of marijuana? It seems to me the diversion issue will be directly proportional to the price you charge. For example, if I can buy a bag from my neighbor below your market price, why would I buy it from the state?
So the law established excise tax at the different levels, and we have heard issues and concerns around the excise tax being too high to move the market from the illicit market to this regulated market for recreational use. And so I think that will be one of the issues, is that the price be set at a level that that is below the illicit market. And that price is set by the retailer. It's not set by the Liquor Control Board.
You know, you mentioned the issue of control from seed to sale, and that's a big issue. We know from the U.S. Attorney General's office, the governor has said that he's trying to reassure the U.S. Attorney General that pot that might be grown here for legal use in Washington State isn't going to go outside the state. And one of the ideas I've heard is some kind of genetic identification, so that if some marijuana showed up in Minnesota, you could test it and know that it came from Washington State, which is an intriguing idea. But I'm wondering if you at the Liquor Control Board have actually looked at the costs of doing that kind of identification system. Is that still a possibility here?
I've heard of that identification system, but we have not done any research yet on the cost of that. The law does require us to have security standards in place, and so that's something that we do understand that depending on how much security we require, that could have an impact to pricing. But we also have that responsibility to ensure that it is a controlled and regulated system. So it's something that we will balance as we figure out what are the security requirements that we'll put into the licensing requirements to be a producer.
Pat Kohler, you're in the midst of this really involved, complicated process. Is there anything you'd like to tell people that I haven't asked you about that's important for them to know about what your work is doing going forward?
I think that what I'd share is that the board intends for this to be an open and transparent process, and that the website that we have out there contains a lot of information that we're considering. And I think that this is a significant undertaking, but I think we do have the experience of a three-tier system, and just going through the recent implementation of I-1183, I think our staff have we're capable of implementing a law such as this, but it definitely, I think it's going to take some time to work through. You know, we'll go ahead and meet the time frame of establishing the rules, but I think that it's going to have there's going to be issues that we're going to have to work through that are going to go beyond just this year.
Pat Kohler, we really appreciate you taking time out from what is, I know, a very busy day for you, as probably are all your days around this time. Will you come back and talk to us as this process goes forward?
Sure, that'd be fine.
We'd appreciate that. Pat Kohler is the Liquor Control Board Director, and she is in charge of kind of overseeing the state effort to implement these regulations that are going to determine how marijuana will be grown and processed and sold in our state. The deadline on getting that done, and the hope is that these stores will be open on December 1st. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.